We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back in the Sports Radio 810 WHB, our continuing coverage of the NFL Draft, wrapped up yesterday early evening, and we began to hear from the picks that the Chiefs made in day three. Earlier in the show, we gave you all the stuff from the three players they picked in day one. Day two, they took three more. And we start with Rashad Fenton, because that's where the Chiefs started today. He went with a 201st pick in the NFL draft, the cornerback out of South Carolina, and he addressed the media after being selected yesterday.
Hey, Rashad, welcome to Kansas City. When did you start thinking the Chiefs, did you know the Chiefs were interested in drafting you?
You know, they showed some interest during the draft process when I was at the combine, you know what I mean? They showed a slight interest, but I feel like it was just a good relationship with the coaches, and just feel like they always believed in me, and I feel like that's kind of the most I felt about it and knew about, you know, them wanting to draft me.
Hey, Rashad, congrats on being drafted. I saw in your bio that you were the 2018 Unselfish Teammate Award at South Carolina. What does that mean to you, and is that, you know, an important thing in your past?
Yes, you know, coming from the family I grew up in, you know, it just always means a lot putting other people first, especially the ones you love and the people that, you know, that you have to support and upcome. So that's always been something my mom has raised and, like, instilled in me growing up. So it's always a big thing for me to always make sure the people around me are always, you know, on the good and up.
Hey, Rashad, were you getting nervous about your draft position, or were you still confident?
You know, just to be honest with you, I was getting kind of nervous there at the end. I was literally about to just go put on some clothes and work out. But, you know what I mean? My mom always say, just keep safe. You know what I mean? You never know how it's going to turn out. You still have some. It was, at that time, it was about 50-something picks left. So she like, just be patient. It might come. So, you know, that's how I was at the moment.
Who were you watching the draft with?
Just me, my mom, and my sister. It was just us three. My brother's in Australia right now. So it was just the closest family I have, my mom and my sister.
That's pretty cool. Why is your brother in Australia?
He plays rugby in Australia right now. So he's out of the country.
Okay, wait a second now. how did that happen?
How did my brother play rugby?
Yeah.
How did he get into rugby?
Yeah.
It's a long story. You guys really want to know? Or?
Maybe we'll wait till you come up here.
All right, we'll wait till I come up here for sure. If y'all can remember to ask the question again, I'll definitely give you all the details on it.
Oh, we will remember. Don't worry.
Sounds getting better.
All right. Rashad, was there anything that you wanted to sort of prove during this pre-draft process? Anything that you had sort of heard, maybe as a junior or senior plan, and something you wanted to prove before a team took a chance on you?
You know what I mean? I just felt like I still had a lot more to prove with everything. Just more so as not a complete corner, but as a complete athlete. You know what I mean? Just being able to bring more to the table than being the lockdown corner. I feel like I was able to prove that in my multiple years at Carolina, starting there. But I just also wanted to be able to prove that I can bring more to the table. You know what I mean? That just felt like that's more so what I wanted to do, just being able to be selected. I just wanted to bring more to the table than what was obviously shown.
Yeah, when you were talking to the Chiefs, and maybe this is even happened at the combine, how much was special teams discussed, and what kind of role do you think you could have on special teams as well as defense?
You know, special teams is always being discussed, whether it's on the punt team, whether it's on the kickoff team, you know what I mean? I'm not really too sure if they know about my specialist, my kick return ability or punt return ability, you know what I mean? I'm not too sure if they knew, because I did that at the beginning of my college career. So, you know what I mean? Special team is always implemented. We always discuss that, you know what I mean? Because that's vital for someone like me in the sixth round to make sure I make the team. So, you know, that was always brought up.
Rashad, you said earlier that the Chiefs showed a slight interest in you at the combine. What do you mean by that? How did they show that slight interest?
We just had a meeting. You know, they wanted to see my skill set as a defensive back, if I knew the schemes and just knew defense itself. You know what I mean? That's what I had, and that's the interest that I felt when they was asking me certain questions like that.
Hey Rashad, how are you most comfortable playing? Is it, you know, inside, outside? You know, do you prefer press, off, zone? What's your kind of style?
You know what I mean? I'm definitely an outside corner, but at the end of the day, when you guys ask the question, I want to bring more versatility to the table. So my sophomore, junior year, I had to play some nickelback because we had some upperclassmen inside the Carolina Gamecocks. So I definitely feel comfortable on the inside as well as the outside. I'm definitely a press corner. I love to get my hands and deter the receivers off the initial route. So I just feel more comfortable press, knowing I can kind of guide the route as I please, being able to press that man-to-man.
What do you feel like is the thing that you need to work on the most coming to this level?
Just being able to understand more route combinations that the offense be able to throw at me. I feel like that'll be the biggest thing I can work on. You know, hopefully I can get in there with some of the vets and just see how they, you know, their take on the game and how they just be able to understand more offensive schemes and et cetera.
That's new Chiefs cornerback Rashad Fenton out of South Carolina addressing the media yesterday after the Chiefs made their pick at 201. They also picked again at 214 and then 216. Whenever that 214th pick came around, one of the I guess there aren't a lot of picks to choose from. I would say the most interesting pick of day three for the Chiefs was made. Running back Darwin Thompson out of Utah State. And I also think he probably had the most interesting conversation with the media. He talked about the visit he had in Kansas City and why he's glad to be here. So here's Darwin James after being selected yesterday.
Hey, Darwin, congrats on getting drafted. When did you have an idea that the Chiefs were interested in that you may be heading to Kansas City?
Really, I couldn't tell you. I really have no clue. I mean, up until this point, my brain has just been all over the place. I believe this guy's playing. It's a perfect situation for me, my family, just the offense, everything. It's perfect fit.
What makes it a perfect fit?
I'm a versatile player, and just being in the offense with Andy Reid is a head guy, and just the things they come up with situational guys, gadget players like myself, I can be plugged anywhere and just get to playing. I'm blessed with this position.
Is there anyone in the NFL right now that you can kind of compare yourself to or compare your skill set to?
I think there's a lot of guys. I mean, Devontae Freeman, Jerick McKinnon, Amir Abdullah, Ray Rice, those guys I feel are the guys that I most mold my game after.
Darwin, did I see that you came to Kansas City on a visit?
Yes, sir. That was my third visit, or actually that was my last visit, best visit at that. Meeting all the coaches, I felt like I seen myself at a stage in life that I want to be at, from the player development to the running back coach to the OC to one day being a head coach. I seen myself growing at Kansas City.
You came out for the draft a year early, Darwin. What told you you and your game were ready for the NFL?
I spent 3 years in junior college. I redshirted 1 year. I played two. I played one at Utah State. I didn't feel there was more development that could have been had for me to be that much of a better player next year. I would have ran for 1,500 more yards, 20 more touchdowns to say that I'm that much of a better player. To be honest, this whole situation, I wouldn't want it to go any different way. All my life, I've been the underdog. This situation, I'm just coming in with a bigger chip on my shoulder.
You said a minute ago that the visit to Kansas City was your best visit of the ones you had. What made it your best visit?
Oh, because meeting the player development, Coach Dylan, Coach EB, Coach Andy Reid. At the age of 35, I hope to see myself as the player development. At the age of 45, I hope to see myself as Dylan McCullough. At the age of 50, I hope to see myself as Coach EB. I just see myself growing there, and they're going to push me to grow, not only as a football player, but as a man. And once I seen that, it really blew me away just like how much I related to them guys, how much we just had that connection. Like Coach EB, for example, and he got the same chip on the shoulder that I do. We both stand 5'7", 5'8", 200 pounds. Coach EB went in the second round, ended up playing 10 years in the league, and always carried that chip on the shoulder.
So you, I'm
sorry. The way he coaches.
You decided you want to go into coaching when your playing days are finished?
I think I want to be a life coach, really, just because I was young and needed someone to tell me the right way to do things and what mistakes not to make. If I would have had that mature person that made those mistakes in my life in the athletic side of the world, I would have been much further off. And I want to give back to kids in my city and Kansas City at that, just to put them that much further ahead, mature them mentally. I think the game, they say, is 90% mental, 10% a physical game, and I truly live by that. This game is 90% mental. Let's make sure these kids are much further ahead. What are they supposed to be thinking like as professionals, or what's the thought process to be successfully financially successful?
Financially
successful.
You said something about relishing being the underdog, and I understand there's a ton of undrafted players. It's a blessing to be drafted, but as a sixth rounder now, is there something there that you can be an inspiration to say, man, you should have taken me in the first, second, third round, you know, to all these teams?
I can say that I will prove my work. I'm not a very vocal guy. I don't lead by being vocal. I'm not a vocal leader. I lead by example. So from this point forward, there's not much I will say about it, but that I'll just show and prove my work. There's a lot of guys that went in the draft that I respect, and I'm happy for them. But at the end of the day, I'm going to prove my worth and show why I should have been one of them guys that should have been drafted higher. But I'm blessed for the position I'm in today.
That's new Chiefs running back Darwin Thompson, running back out of Utah State. A really interesting story there, really interesting conversation about what it was that drew him to Kansas City. Obviously, the Chiefs made the selection, but like he seems very excited to be here, and I'm really interested to see how it is that he fits into this offense. I saw a lot of really high praise for him going around on Twitter, a favorable comparison to Tariq Cohen. Matt Waldman had tweeted out that this was his favorite pairing of the entire draft, that this is just like perfectly a perfect marriage between this running back and the scheme that they're going to put him in. Matt Waldman tweeted, Thompson's a stronger Tariq Cohen, but with not quite the vertical receiving skill, but excellent quicks, contact balance, and strength. The guy is like Deion Lewis with thump. He can develop into a focal point running back as a hybrid guy with the right scheme. KC is that scheme. So real reason for optimism there. I wasn't as concerned about the running back position as many, but I do like the move here, especially whenever you can do that with a 214th pick in the draft. Right after that pick, they picked again at 216. Their final pick in the draft was interior offensive lineman Nick Allegretti out of Illinois. Here's what he had to say whenever he had his chance to meet the media.
Hey, Nick, congratulations. What did you have an inkling that that it would come down to the Chiefs?
Thank you, first of all. But no, I've spoken with the Chiefs a few times throughout the process, and earlier today I knew that they had a seventh-round pick they were considering the lineman with, so I had that in my back pocket, you know, thinking about it the whole day, but I had no clue. My mind was racing all day. I did a puzzle to try to relax. Didn't help much, but it was a good day, and then I got the call, saw it on the TV, and I don't even know what I did, but it was awesome. Extremely excited.
So you did a puzzle to relax. Is that something that you do a lot? How do you usually, you know, just unstress, de-stress?
We can definitely get into that for sure, because I'm a little bit of a different guy. But yeah, I like puzzles, Rubik's cubes, that kind of thing. And then I'm a coin collector, so that's my. I love collecting coins, read magazines on it. Those are my hobbies that I try to use to get away from football when I get a shot and just relax. So
Awesome. I've got a football question for you, too. You've played a couple different spots along the line. Where are you most comfortable? Where do you feel like you fit best?
I like you said, I played a couple spots, and I know that, I need to be able to play all three interior positions, and I know I can. So I think that I can move pretty fluidly throughout, center, right guard, left guard, doesn't matter which hand I have down. So I'm just ready for whatever they need. I'm sure we'll get into that with the coaches more as we move forward, but I know we're excited to get a guy that can move throughout the interior pretty well.
Nick, who's the toughest guy you had to block when you were in college?
I say Big Ten, you get a lot of pretty big physical guys. I mean, I know in this year's draft, Draymond Jones was definitely probably the highest touted prospect that I played against. Probably the toughest player I played against, though, was Tyler Lancaster, who's up in Green Bay now, played for Northwestern. Just a very physical, high-effort, strong player. Never took a snap off, and just his consistency there definitely made him a challenge every snap.
There's new Chief Nick Algaretti, the newest Chief, I guess the undrafted free agent, to me that's not true, but the final pick that the Chiefs made in the 2019 NFL Draft. Why did the Chiefs make those picks that you just heard talking there from yesterday? We'll find out whenever we hear from the area scouts, who also spoke yesterday to explain why these are the picks the Chiefs made on day three of the NFL Draft. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Josh Abrisco with you today, bringing you more of the things you may have missed the last few days during the NFL Draft. Yesterday, we got to hear from some of the area scouts who came out and spoke, and one of the Southeastern scouts came out to talk, an employee of the Chiefs, a scout for the Chiefs, but regionally going to the Southeast, and he was responsible for yesterday's sixth-round pick, the first of the sixth-round picks, Rashad Fenton, the cornerback out of South Carolina. Also, though, scouted Mecole Hardman, the first pick the Chiefs made this week for the wide receiver from Georgia back in that second round, 56 overall. So let's hear what he had to say about both Hardman and Fenton whenever he spoke to the media yesterday.
What did you guys see when you were evaluating Fenton? What made him a good fit for you?
Well, we really liked his. He's a tough kid with good athletic ability, has really good ball skills, and he makes plays on the ball. So that's what we saw and was attractive for us. And, if we can get turnovers, that's a good deal. Well, the speed is outstanding, but he also has a quickness and burst and explosion that you're looking for in a receiver. Now, he can work on a few things, but everybody can work on things on the next level. But we also like his return ability. He's an instant returner. He's an instant vertical guy. So we like those things about him.
Yeah,
so Mecole, he'll come in, he'll battle for that punt return, kick return position, and then when you bring in Fenton, he'll be more of your gunner, your other punt return, kickoff stuff. He'll do that. He'll be a core teams guy for you too.
I think there's been a big emphasis just like on the outside looking in about how these cornerbacks are going to fit into now what Spags is going to be doing. So just how is he a Spags 4-3 type?
Yeah. Yeah, what's great about Fenton is if you watch South Carolina, they play a few different styles. They do a little more shuffle bail technique, but you'll see them in the off man and zone type stuff where Spags likes to do a little bit of everything, and that's what Spags is great for. He mixes things up so you don't really know what you're getting, and Fenton is a smart football player that's played all the different techniques.
What told you that, okay, he has the smarts to be able to handle this?
Yeah, when you see sometimes in college you just get guys that just play strictly man and they're strictly playing press the majority of the time. But when you see a team that in college that plays a versatile of quarters and cover two and cover three and works off some different things, usually those corners are a little bit more prepared for the next level, and you know that you can work with them and do some zone coverage stuff, because that's really the tougher things for them on the next level. Everybody's kind of playing some version of man, but how many coverages of zone did you play? And then your awareness and the instincts, and those are things that coaches are looking for.
And similarly, like with Mecole, I understand that he has to work a little bit on his route tree. What told you
Yeah, I think, well, he has some things that you guys know that not many people have. And with his burst and explosion and ability to get out of the breaks, you can always work. There's teachable things and unteachable things. And speed, burst, and quickness are things that we can't teach or we can't coach. But we can teach a guy how to get out of his routes, how to stem routes, how to work on some routes that he hasn't done before. And he's got the ability. And the thing you like about him, if you guys haven't met him already, he's got great energy and he loves the game of football. So with the coaching staff that we have, and his personality and his work ethic, I think he'll be on the road for success.
Was there a sort of idea of watching Jordan when they had Nicole move around over the field? How much beneficial is that to see at the college level based on what Andy likes to do, obviously, here at the NFL level with the offense?
Yeah, you know, Andy's outstanding, and you know, he's at the top of people doing it. But what you can see him do is it's a reverse stuff. You can see him do some other, you know, quick screen, all those type of things, like not as complex as the things that we do with other guys, but the basis of, okay, we know we can work him in the screen game. We know we can work him on reverses. We see him running the vertical stuff, running goes, running posts, running corners. So he has all those routes that we can see him get down the field and make plays down the field. But at the same time, doing that quick stuff, get the ball in his hands quick and have him make plays. So there's a lot of ability there with him. That's why we like him so much.
Do you see all the SEC teams?
Yeah.
Is that part of your?
Yes. Yeah, so, well, I won't say all, but the majority of it. I go from North Carolina all the way down to Florida, over to Mississippi, Alabama.
Okay, so ACC too.
So yeah, so I have ACC. Yeah, so we do it by state.
So you're seeing some of the best college players in the country. When you're evaluating these guys, sometimes their numbers aren't, you know, great just because of the competition they're playing against. So what are you looking for specifically? You know, guys that are playing at the highest level of college.
Well, the most important thing first for me is that he's a good football player. And then, because sometimes we get lost in the numbers of, okay, he runs this or he does that, but are you football smart? Can you make those things, can you make those plays on the field? Can you transition the speed that you have onto the field? Because you'll see a lot of guys that will run 4.2 and 4.4 and all those, but they don't show the speed like Mecole shows on the field. Just because he's got track speed doesn't mean he has football speed, and you have to be able to transition that. So we look for that, like, hey, can he take those talents that he has, the athletic ability that we see in drills and stuff like that, and actually put it on the field? And then your football intelligence, you know, so how quickly can you pick up the playbook? How quickly can you learn stuff? Because if you struggle to learn, that can sometimes hold you back from your ability to get on the field, you know, because you have the ability in your body, but if you're thinking in our game, it makes it tough.
With my goal, one thing I want to ask you about is going from last year to the year before and seeing sort of the development in year two to year three, just were there differences that you saw, or were there just more consistency on tape based on the way Georgia was utilizing it?
Yeah, I think as far as Mecole, I think you could see the growth, and they use him a lot in the return game, and then he grew in the routes that they gave him, the responsibility they gave him, because they put him more in the slot, and then they put him a little bit more outside, so they moved him around a little bit more this year versus his younger years. But you could see him grow as a player, and he did a good job with it.
So there's the scout who was responsible for the area scouting of both Mecole Hardman and Rashad Fenton. We also can go now to the scout who was most responsible for taking a look at Darwin Thompson, the running back out of Utah State. A really interesting play. You heard from him a little bit earlier on in today's show. Let's hear why the Chiefs ended up pulling the trigger on him at pick 214.
I think he kind of hit the nail on the head. He's almost a little bit of a change of pace from what we have, which is nice. He's obviously a little bit undersized, but in terms of his twitch and his burst, kind of that change of pace guy who can get out and make moves in space. And, you know, he is a big play threat. He always was a big play threat for them at Utah State. So it's a little bit different than what we had. So it gives us a little bit different dimension in terms of the passing game and guys who can operate out in space too. So.
How did things change for you knowing a guy that was just there for a year compared to a guy that you may have seen over the course of 2, 3, 4 years going into the school?
Well, really, it comes down to the relationships that you have with the coaches at the school, too. And those guys at Utah State were great in terms of, you know, catching you up on who he is as a person and a player, just from what you don't see on the tape. And then on the tape, you study what you see on film, you know, and you look at his body work and what he was able to accomplish in that conference on a very good football team this year was very impressive. So, yeah, the body work is a little bit smaller, but what he did and the opportunities that he was given, I thought he made the most out of it.
The yards for average is really impressive. Mm-hmm. On where he was, just what are the trait or two that you saw that allowed him to gain those extra yards per attempt?
Sure. Well, even though he, you know, you look at his size, he's 5'8", 198 pounds, but this kid's really put together, you know, and I think when you see him in the building, he's a real rocked up dude. So I thought he had really good strength, really good contact balance. You know, he runs with a low center of gravity, and that's one of the things that the guys at Utah State mentioned. He was pound for pound probably the strongest kid in their program, just in terms of his lower body strength. And so his ability to work through contact, and then obviously he's got really quick feet and ability to kind of make people miss out in space as well. So they run a spread offense, kind of an air raid style offense. So when you get a guy who does have the ability to break tackles and does have very good contact balance and lower body strength out in the open field, you know, I think that's where you get the, you know, the 6.8 yards per carry is pretty good. And then obviously 15.3 yards per catch was really impressive too. So this guy's been a big play, you know, a big play threat for them. You know, I know it's limited carries, but what he did, like I said, was very impressive.
Do you see any kick return or punt return possibilities with him?
Sure. I think, you know, given his body type and the strength, I think all running backs really have an opportunity to be kick returners. You know, he wasn't really featured there as much this year being a first-year guy, but I think that's something. Coach Tobe always does a great job with those guys. You know, even if they weren't guys that did it in college per se, you know, Nile Davis wasn't a guy who didn't have a lot of kick returns at Arkansas, but the way that Coach and Rod, you know, get those guys ready to go, the way that he runs and his vision and his quickness, certainly I think that's something they could try in the preseason, just see how it goes.
How did Utah State use him? Like, where did he line up? Most
often
all over the place?
You know, so their spread offense, it's kind of, you know, in a disciple of the air raid system, right, that Patrick played in college as well. So most of the time he was out of the backfield, you know, working kind of in that offset shotgun type spread running attack that a lot of colleges use nowadays. But, you know, he does have good hands. I mean, you know, he had 23 catches for 351. So 15.3 yards per catch, it's not just the little check downs or, you know, he's got the ability, if it is a little swing route, if he makes that first guy miss, you know, all of a sudden he's a problem for defenders in the open field. So I'd say most of the stuff that he used was more traditional in that spread system at tailback. But I think he does have good hands. You know, if Coach wanted to split him out, you know, that's up to them. But he's got the ability to do that. He caught the ball really well at the pro day, too.
You talked about those 15.3 yards he averaged per catch. Mm-hmm. Was a lot of that just making guys miss, or was he beating coverage down the field and making some plays that way?
Well, he can beat coverage in terms of the one-on-one stuff with linebackers, mm-hmm, because his short area quickness. So a lot of that, you know, whether it was in the screen game or whether it was a flare route out in the flat, that he makes that first guy miss and then he picks up 15 to 20 yards. You know, there were a couple plays where you did see him work downfield. You know, and he can track the ball and do some of that. But, you know, I think for us, you know, he could be a really nice mismatch. And that's when you talk about the change of pace, a little bit smaller guy who's really got that twitch where all of a sudden if they leave him one-on-one with a linebacker, that could be something that, you know, could really benefit our offense.
How surprised were you in the room that he was still available this late in the draft?
You know, I know that we really liked him and he was a guy that we targeted. You just never really know how the chips are going to fall. You know, there's always some guys that maybe you thought would go higher that you know, drop a little bit, and there's always some guys that maybe you think go later that go a little bit higher. I mean, that's kind of the inexact science of scouting. You know, it just takes one team, you know, and it happens every year, and we were thrilled to get him. You know, I think we were sitting there for a while without having a fourth or fifth round pick, and, you know, so maybe he was a guy that we would have taken had we had a pick there, but we're thrilled to get him where we got him. Oh, man. I'm trying to think, because nowadays, you know, that size factor for a running back really isn't as big of a deal as it had been in years past. I know, you know, he's thick. So he's really thick. I mean, at 5'8", he's 5'8", even, right? And he played around 200 pounds. So that's a pretty compact, thick guy. You know, I mean, if you think about it, you know, and he doesn't have a whole lot of fat on him too. So when you see him, I mean, he is really rocked up. It's really hard to do a comp there. You know, I know some guys maybe mentioned, you know, Freeman in Atlanta was another guy who's about that 5'8", 205-pound range. So a little bit different running style. A little bit. Now, Sproles, I think, was a little bit shorter than that. But, you know, those guys, it's crazy because you want to think he's kind of this scat back, but he's so powerful in that build that he really does have strength. So it's kind of a rare dynamic. You know, I haven't done a whole lot of guys out west that I could give you an honest comp to say, hey, man, when I looked at him on film, he was this guy, because not a lot of guys are built that way. It's kind of a unique build, you know.
Given what BJ asked earlier, trying to compact all the information with just the 1 year you had, in terms of building a relationship and understanding who the player is, just what did you learn, whether it's from the coaching staff or who's close to him, who he is as a character, who he is as someone who's going to be in the locker room?
You know, this is an outstanding person, you know, first and foremost. I mean, this is a really, really driven kid, you know, coming out of Jenks High School in Tulsa. You know, he spent a couple years at Northeastern Oklahoma. You know, he was a non-qualifier coming out. So he's a guy that's really had to earn everything he's been given throughout the process. So he spent 2 years at the JUCO level. You know, he's a hungry, really driven kid, you know, and I think those are the kind of guys that you like having, because, you know, he's on a mission. He's on a mission to succeed, and they raved about the kid. You know, sometimes you get kids through various reasons that aren't always focused when they come into college, be it coming from the JUCO level of freshman. But the kid was very mature beyond his years. You know, football is what he wants to do, and whatever he can do to accomplish his goals, he's all about ball. You know, he's not somebody you worry about off the field. You know, when he was at Utah State, it was school and football. You know, take care of school, take care of football, you know, and there weren't a lot of other distractions outside that he would let get in the way of his goal of working towards his education. Because I think he's going to graduate, or if he hadn't graduated in the spring, he's really close to graduating, which is really impressive for a guy that was 2 years at JUCO and Utah State. So I think that does speak to his character and his maturity, that it wasn't just, hey, I'm here for football, I'm going to get my one season in, show the scouts what I can do, and I'm going to be gone. I mean, he was taking care of business in the classroom and that as well. So they love the kid up there. I mean, and it's crazy, because he'd really only been there about, you know, 9 months, if you think about it, from the time he got in from JC to the time that this process started. But all his teammates there loved him. It was really fun to see at Pro Day, you know, a guy that kind of came into the program late with the rest of these guys that have been together for 4 years, how they embraced him and, you know, really just loved the kid. You know, he bought in right away, and it was really neat to see. So he checks all the boxes from that standpoint, you know, as far as I can get. And like I said, those guys from Utah State have been awesome, you know, to deal with over the years. So.
And last but not least, we go now to the scout that scouted Nick Algoretti, the guard and maybe center out of Illinois. The Chiefs used their last pick on him, even with a lot of other high-priority undrafted free agents they'd eventually end up pursuing after the fact. Why Algoretti at 216? Here's the scout.
So he's played a couple of different positions in college all along the interior. Do you really see, you know, what's his natural position, you think, in the next level?
His best tape was at guard, because he's just a big physical mauler type guy, and he's really fun to watch. Like, he gets after it, plays football hard, but he is athletic enough and versatile enough. You saw it in the East-West to play center, and he did a really good job at it. He played a little heavier during the year, so guard looked better, and he lost some weight for the All-Star game and looked really good at center. So, you know, definitely looking at a two-position guy in the NFL.
Talked a lot about his wrestling background. I spoke to him on the phone. How do you see that?
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's one of the first things we look in. We have to type in a field of high school stuff, and wrestling is one of them. And you get excited when you see that in an offensive lineman, because they understand leverage. It's a mindset. It's toughness. They really do. It's just an understanding of leverage. So it's a plus for sure.
He told us earlier that he likes to do puzzles, Rubik's cubes, coin collector. What kind of things did you guys see from him off the field when you were evaluating him?
He's a typical boring offensive lineman. I mean, but he's a really smart one. Like, he's a 42 on his Wunderlich. So, like, he's really into challenging himself, you know, with puzzles and all that stuff, you know. So, yeah.
Andy Heck has done a really good job in transitioning guys to the, you know, pro level. When you see a guy like this, you say, okay, he can play center.
do you talk with Andy and just what is that like?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things that need to be – that go into it to say he could transition to it. There's athletic ability. The mental's big for center. And then can he lead the offensive line? You got to have confidence to make the calls. You got to really lead that group. And the group can tell if you, you know, don't have command of it. So that all goes into it.
What type of things, like, jump out to you that says, okay, this could do that?
His intelligence. He's a natural leader. He's a leader of the O-line room. The guys gravitate towards him, so there's no question there. And then it was easy for me because you get to see him do it. The hard part is when you got to project it, and sometimes you just got to go off athletic ability, intelligence, makeup, stuff like that.
Is there a gut aspect of it?
If you don't get to see it, yeah. Yeah, but fortunately, you know, for me, I got to see it in an all-star game and in his past, so that wasn't too hard of a projection.
What are his most standout traits, do you think?
I'll say this, I don't usually get excited watching linemen, but he was exciting to watch because he just gets after people. Like, he will throw people around. He's got a nasty edge, like, strong, really patient, under control, smart player. I mean, he's fun to watch, and he's an offensive lineman.
So there are those scouts for the third day of draft action from the Kansas City Chiefs. More on the draft, what they accomplished, what they didn't, where they go from here whenever we come back on Sports Radio 810. Still Sports Radio 810, still draft coverage here on 810. I'm still Joshua Briscoe, but we hand it over now to Mitch Holthus. He was out at Arrowhead yesterday with all three of the Chiefs' first day draft picks. First day for the Chiefs, but it was second day draft picks in Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, and Colin Saunders. All three of those guys were out at Arrowhead with Mitch Holthus, being able to talk as Chiefs in person for the first time and out in front of the crowd.
Mecole, I'm going to start with you. When you got the phone call and they said you're a Kansas City Chief, walk us through your thoughts, mind, heart, and soul.
Oh, man. when I got the call, I was just, you know, I was very excited and just thankful for the opportunity and just ready to get to work. So
you're going to be a part. You're going to be a part. You're walking into the number one offense last year in the National Football League.
Yes, sir.
Your thoughts on playing on the same team with Patrick Mahomes, the NFL MVP?
I'm ready. I know what P. Mahomes can do, and I know how deadly this offense is. I know what I can add to the offense. So, you know, put me on the offense with the same field with P. Mahomes. I mean, that's more touchdowns as we score, more deadly offense, and we're going to have fun with it.
The other thing is there is a great tradition here of returners. We can go all the way back, but Dante Hall, I mean, what about the opportunity to be the next electrifying returner for all of this?
I'm ready to change the game, you know. I'm ready to add the aspect to the game and do it big. So let's go ahead and get it, you know.
Mecole Hardman. One, there is an incredible tradition of defense here. The best defenses are those that can attack. Watching your tape, what about your game and how you play this in an attacking style?
All right, listen to me right here. All right, I know we got the best offense. So, you know, y'all brought me here to get the ball back to the offense. So I'm going to get here. So look. I don't got 13 career interceptions for no reason. So I'm going to bring them all here and a little bit of more.
And there's a little place over there called Amen Corner. You got a pick six in you to take one to the house. What happens with a pick six from Juan Thornhill? What's that going to sound like?
Hey, listen. I like the sound of that, but if I get a pick six, I'm jumping in the stands. I want y'all to take her to the concession stand.
Your reaction when you found out you're going to be a Kansas City Chief?
Listen, I didn't even, honestly, I didn't expect the call at all. I was sitting there with my family and the whole community. And then, I mean, I got that phone call immediately. I'm not even an emotional person, but I immediately broke down and started crying because I know this is a good place to be, and I'm excited to be here.
And I know you guys come from great families. You now have extended your family. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. Colin, I got to ask you, the Senior Bowl was big for you. Your lady gave birth to your child, and she said, go to the Senior Bowl. You got the greatest lady ever, maybe, but what about that experience and what it did to take some dude that's a leatherneck and say, wait a minute, this guy can play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Senior Bowl, it was a big opportunity for me, and ultimately, that's why me and my wife ended up deciding it was best for me to stay. And, you know, I had something to prove. You know, a lot of people think that FCS football is a drop-off for some reason, and it's not. It's not at all. So, you know, I had to prove something.
FCS ain't a drop-off in your league, brother. I'm going to tell you, not in your league. And it was the school that had Rodney Harrison and Brian Cox and Aaron Stecker. I went through all that. But to play, same thing I asked Juan. You seem to play defense up front in an attacking style. What about your game and what you bring?
Oh, yeah. Like you said, I attack the ball. I'm a ball hunter. You know, I'm going to find the ball no matter what. I play, you know what I mean? Like, I play nose guard. So, like, you know, I'm getting double teamed every play, and I came away with 72 tackles. You know what I mean? Like, that's not something that you find in the defensive tackle a lot. So, like I said, you know, I got a nose for the ball. I feel like I'm an intelligent defensive lineman as far as knowing plays and stuff like that. And like I said, I just get after it. You know, I play with a chip on my shoulder because I had to earn everything I got, and I'm gonna make sure y'all know that.
McCole, you're gonna break the huddle with Mahomes and Kelsey. Juan, you're going to break the huddle with the honey badger. You're going to break the huddle with a dude named Chris Jones. Frank Clark. I can go right down the line. What about the group you guys can put together? Because there's other dudes around this ring up here that played your position.
Oh, yeah. That group, man, especially with the addition of Frank, like, it's going to be special. You know, I have no doubt in my mind that that we can make the best defensive line in the NFL.
And one thing that'll help Juan and help you guys is the other team's trying to have a snap count. How's that sound? Wait till you see the looks and the dudes across trying to go. And then a false start. One final thought from all you guys. McCole, I'm going to start with you. Just one thought now is because this becomes now a brand new life for all three of you guys. Your thoughts right down the line. Your thoughts as you start this life in the Chiefs Kingdom.
My thoughts right now is just get ready to work and bring the Super Bowl back. So.
Listen. My thoughts are simple. I'm home. So that's all that matters. I'm home, baby. Let's go. I'm home. I'm home.
Going off of my boy Juan said, I mean, I'm from St. Louis, and you know what I mean? The Rams vacated me, so this my hometown team now. So I'm gonna ride with y'all, boy.
Those of you who follow me on social media now know why I was so fired up last night. Another big cheer, McCole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, and Colin Saunders, your newest Chiefs!
Woo! Let's get it. Go!
And there you have it, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, out there with the first three picks of the Chiefs in the 2019 NFL Draft. Of course, Frank Clark, almost technically the first pick, depending on how you want to make it work, I suppose. But those are the three guys, Hardman, Thornhill, and Saunders. The Chiefs went with 1, 2, and 3, even as the draft picks were in the second and third rounds. You heard a raucous crowd out there yesterday. Just heard it again today. So thanks to everybody who's been a part of our draft productions over the weekend. And this version of this little best of show wraps up now. Thanks to Chris Bolick for handling the show in the control room. Also, thanks to Chris for putting this on the podcast page, which means that if you missed anything, we've given you the highlights from the newest Chiefs and the scouts and the GM and coaches who selected them. So if you would like more information or if you missed anything from these guys, just hop over to the podcast page in a few minutes at 810WHB.com, the 810 mobile app. Check out the additional programming section, and you can get the last 2 hours that we gave you here on Sports Radio 810. Hope you enjoyed the draft this weekend and all of our coverage here on 810, and we'll talk to you again soon.